start the opportunity to be here. I don't know when I've been this nervous in a long, long time. I think it was 15 years ago when I was going to get married. I think that's about the last time I've been this nervous. And a good-looking crowd here. And thank you so much for just allowing us opportunity to be here. My brother, youngest brother, is here. And thank you for coming, Donovan and Tracy. And fellows, I may have this thing, we'll go to the same side, I guess. Will it cross short? Will it electrocute me is what I'm worried about. I'm getting a little nervous about this already. My mother-in-law, her husband's here. Thank you for coming. My pastor and his wife, Brother Wayne Ryder, and Sister Loretta Ryder here. Thank you for being here. And all of you that are friends, some have said, we're going to be counting on you, and thank you for that, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Somebody said, we had it pretty warm in here, Brother Craig, red hot, and you've slowed down already, and we're going to miss God. And we're going to miss God.
We're just famine.
And I want to be mindful and preach just what the Lord has for us. Don't want to preach anything more than He wants me to preach. And I believe that the Lord is capable of helping us in this house. Psalms 132. A lot of scripture on my mind. I've kind of felt alone in this meeting. You fellas ever do that? And I thought that I knew the mind of the Lord and began to feel after Him to make sure that I was going to preach what He wanted me to preach rather than what I wanted to preach. And have y'all ever played preacher? Anybody admit that? Preach what we want to preach, did what He wanted to preach? And how'd that work for you fellas? That's about the way it went for me. Psalm 132, and let's get to the Word of God. Thank you, Parsons family. Thank you, the Netherton, Jeff Netherton, his family group. We're praying for the Yolanda, Londa, and pray our prayers are with her and her family. You found Psalm 132, say amen.
Amen.
You told on yourself, that means you can say amen. So I'll lean on you for some help tonight. Brother Lonnie, my daddy said years ago, he said, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick'em to a fast dog. Huh? You ever pull down? Preaching, you pull down, Brother Allen? Amen a little bit right there, and it'll help us get over the hump. They sing that He'll roll you over the tide, and we need to get over the tide. Amen? So let's join together in worship tonight. Psalm 132, Brother Brian opened the door last night in the message for this, so we'll build upon that. Psalm 132, verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into His tabernacles. We will worship at His footstool. Arise, O Lord, into Thy rest. Thou in the ark of Thy strength, let Thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Well, it's good right there, isn't it? Somebody say amen right there. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant, my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall set upon the throne, thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision, I'll satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe the priest with salvation. Her saints shall do what? shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I've ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will be clothed with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Two times there's a word that appears in Psalms 132. And we'd like to scratch around that tonight, Brother Stacy, and see if we can find where God's at in this house. And I believe that God's still interested in an habitation for himself. Lord, we're asking tonight that you would send your Spirit upon us. I'm weak in the flesh. I have trepidation in facing this crowd. There's a lot of preachers. All of them's better preachers than I. I haven't got it figured out, Lord, except that you would preach through me and for me. So I give to you a stammering, stuttering tongue, or a voice that does not know what to speak unless you would guide me into the path that you would have me to walk. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Write upon my remembrance the things that you prepared in my heart for this time. God, I pray that when we leave, we could truly say that we've been in the presence of God. God, I'm convinced that if we get in your presence, we'll not just be stirred, but we'll be changed. We've talked a lot about revival, but God, we want revival. Joseph of Arimathea, God came to your tomb and he craved the body. Fling a craven on our soul to be a habitation for you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, there was something that America experienced, and we called it the Industrial Revolution. After that, our fellows came home from World War II. We were in the middle of a growing spell in industry here in America. The economy was growing by leaps and bounds, and some of you perhaps could remember that through the 40s, the 50s, into the 60s. In addressing that supreme growth of the economy of this country, Brother Clark, the government got involved. And as most things, when government gets involved, it seems like they go to excess. Amen? And I think that we could agree in there. But they created, as a result of the growth of society, Brother Stacy, they created something that we call the EPA, the Environmental Protection Protective Agency, to address the concerns and to bring together the concerns of threatened species of mammals and animals and plants for the horticulturists in the crowd. So they began to address these needs. There's something that comes to my mind that you perhaps will remember in the valley of Tennessee, the mountains of Tennessee, in Appalachian America, there in the mountains of Tennessee, they were building a dam. It was called the Tellico Dam. Y'all perhaps will have reason to remember they were trying to finish that. That Tellico Dam was 95% finished, and some environmentalists came by, and they swung in there and began to examine, and they found that there was a snail darter fish that was threatened. Anybody remember this that happened? It happened in the 1980s. And here's this snail darter fish that's threatened. Someone said, Brother Craig, you got anything against the snail darter fish? No. I like them fried. Amen. I don't know if you could fry a snail darter fish or not, but I don't have anything per se against the snail darter fish. But they swung in and found that the snail darter fish was being threatened by the building of this Tellico Dam. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court handled that and justified or rectified the environment of that snail darter fish. And they said to the people that were interested in that, Brother Clark, here's the allocations we're going to make. The people that were building had invested over $150 million in the Tellico Dam. Their needs were met as well. It was open. Somebody said, that's out there. That's kind of fanatical, Brother Craig, for people to stop a building project that's going to provide power for many households and industry in the Tennessee Valley. Well, let's bring it closer to home. As a boy, I grew up going up the old Waiting Mountain. Brother Lonnie, you and Sister Connie been up that. Brother Bruce Smithson grew up on the other side. Her grandma grew up on the other side of that mountain toward Lone Beach, didn't you, Brother Bruce? But going up that Waiting Mountain, there was something. Dad would pastor up there, the old Waiting United Baptist Church, and they had road that went up side of that mountain, and it was just a washboard. Anybody familiar with washboard road? Dad would be going up there, and somehow or another, back in those days, the car couldn't pull it if you had the air conditioner on. Amen. And Dad thought, Dono, that we would be safer as boys. He's trying to protect our interests. And he thought that we'd be better in a yacht instead of just a boat. Amen. He drove those Bonneville, Pontiac Bonnevilles, those long ones that had the fender skirts. Somebody with me now. Amen. We slipped out there and took those fender skirts off one day. And we was, you know, making it look a little more sporty. And Dad came out of the house, and I know now why he does it, because I have kids. He said, boys, where's my fender skirts? Let's put them back on. And we had to put the fender skirts back on. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm from a different planet. Y'all don't remember fender skirts, amen? They hid the tires on the rear, amen? Hey, can I tell this right here? I'm hurrying, I'm promised. And Brother Lonnie, we were growing up there at Oak Grove, and we had become of age that we were interested in the opposite sex, you know, and we're kind of looking around at church for pretty girls, and we jumped out one day because it's not cool to pull up in a Pontiac Bonneville with fender skirts, and it just does something to your image, amen, especially when you have a burr haircut with big ears. I jumped out of the car, and Donovan's sitting on the hump with his knees up on, you know, and he jumps out, and Louie jumps out, and we run over, and we stand beside another car, because any car's got to be better than the car we drove up in. And the only thing that's different, Phil Shackelford, is ours was yellow and it was green. It had fender skirts on it too. Was owned by Finest McCrary. We're standing beside that, and I said, Lord, this ain't got no better. Amen. We're driving up the side of that waiting mountain. Dad would shut the air conditioner off, roll the window down. We're all hanging out. And leather or velour was not in our budgets, I don't guess. We had vinyl seats. It's hot in the summer, and we're rolling windows down, and dust is fogging in, and that car's doing like this, going up the side of the mountain. Somebody said, that ain't meaning nothing to me. They decide. In the state of Arkansas, and legislation, Mike Hutzel, they passed a law and said, we're going to pave the road. Somebody shout now. Amen. We're going to pave the road up the side of the Waiting Mountain, Highway 327 it is, and we're going to pave that baby. Lord God, we've been faithful, and you've heard our prayers. They start the work, and somebody comes along. True story, Newton County, Arkansas, outside of Jasper, between Parthenon and Waiting. They come along, climb up the side of the hill, and they find a species of arrowhead and a salamander that nobody's ever seen before. Huh? And they shut down. Hey, Newton County people get riled up. Lonnie Burks, they shut down the blasting of the mountain because of a salamander and an arrowhead. Don't have nothing against arrowheads. Like to pick them up and put them in my pocket and look at them. And think about great, 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 great granddaddy Geronimo. Amen. I don't have anything against that. My Uncle Jerry, he's a Baptist or United Baptist preacher. He's a great big man. Worked in the log woods because that's what you did. And Jerry's going to the woods. He's got himself a log wagon. And he's hauling logs to provide a living for his family. And Brother Clark, he's driving in early one morning. And he finds something unusual in the log woods. He finds a group of people that have linked their arms and are laying across the road. Not something you normally see in the log woods. They're laying there linked arm in arm. He gets out, sets the air brakes, crawls down, and he says, what's going on? And they said, we're going to protect the innocent slaying of the forest. Now that's fine and dandy when you're at your place. But when you're laying in the middle of a log wood on somebody or log road on somebody else's land, back up, Bubba. Uncle Jerry's got his overalls on. Somebody said, why? They fit better. And He's got his overalls on, Bruce, and he says, I want to tell y'all something. This is the way I make a living for my family. And they said, we're protecting the environment. You're killing the forest. We're protecting this. And we're willing to give our lives for the trees that you're slaying. And the old jury said, I'm going to tell you folks something. I bet his blood pressure got up about here. He's about 6'6", weighs about 290, and he's got hands that look like hams. I can almost see him. He can't talk, Brother Allen, unless he moves his hands. And they may have looked like Takiwandu hands that day. He says, I'm going to tell you folks something. I'm going to crawl back up in that Peterbilt, start that cat engine up. I'm going to put her in the low side, and I'm going to ooze on through, and we're going to haul logs today.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to die for the forest.
Yes,
he crawled in that truck, cranked that cat engine up. May have been a 3406. That don't mean much to you unless you drive a truck. 3406C Caterpillar. Put her in the low side, 15 speed reduction under. And he lets out on the clutch and here he goes. And they decided that day wasn't the day to die. Somebody said, Brother Craig, there's nothing wrong with saving a tree. Let me help you right there. If you hug a logger, you'll get over hugging trees. Somebody said, Brother Craig, what are you driving at? Over 90 or 219 people last year in 2015 were sitting in trees trying to protect the slaying of forest and the slaying of a tree by environment. And they were killed. They either fell asleep and fell out or something of nature happened to them. They perished trying to be fanatical in trying to protect the environment that they believed in. Stacy Valines, I just believe that it's time that we got back to being fanatical about the environment that God lives in. Preacher Wainwriter, I'm convinced that God is still God, that He's still seated where He's always been, and He still wants to covenant with His people. They're extended. He wants to come down, and He wants to habitat with us. Amen. Oh, somebody get with me and help me. Amen. I'm interested in a habitat, a place where God can dwell. Got three little things to the message. Wish it was fancy. Wish I had a poem. Wish I had a song. Ain't got them. But if I get them, I'll give them to you. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Craig, what do we have to have in order to be a habitat? In order to have God dwell with us? In order to see the presence, the glory of God again? Well, I went through the book. Amen. Because the book's the answer. It is the final authority. It'll stand when the world's on fire. Somebody said, how much is it worth? Well, it's worth more than heaven, because He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's worth more than the gold of glory. It is the word. It is the ever-living seed of the word of God. It's settled. So let's go there. Let's go where Brian took us last night, into the book of Samuel. Let's go chapter number 6. And you'll find that they have a meeting together. The Ark of Covenant's been gone. Somebody said, Brother Craig, what's so interesting about this ark? It's just a box about 3 foot long. Oh, but it's more than that. If you believe in God and you want God, Brother Brian, it is the very presence. It's the symbolic presence of an almighty God that dwelt between the cherubim. Somebody said, Brother Bruce, what does it mean? Well, it means the difference between victory and defeat. Amen. It means the glory or the blessings. It means the curse or the forgetfulness. I'm talking to us about God, Brother Stacy, the presence of God. And here He is. David said, we've been too long. I said, we've been too long without the presence of God. Oh, somebody said, but we've been having a stirring. But have we been having a changing? Brother Roddy, I'm talking about when God comes by. There's something that changes. It changes lives. It changes outcomes. It changes circumstances. It is the presence of God that makes the difference. 2 Samuel chapter 6. You're there. It's also found in 1 Chronicles 13. David and his people got together And they come up with a plan. You remember this? They come up with a plan. And it pleased all the people. Let's just read that. Let's go to 1 Chronicles for sake of time. 1 Chronicles 13. Amen. I'm a hurrying. Donald said, we got to work tomorrow. You know what that dirty rat said? He said, if I show up, I get paid. I wish he'd buy into the government's plan. Some of y'all get that on the way home. Verse 3, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not it in the days of Saul, being gone 20 years. You'd have thought somebody would have scratched their head and said, where's God? Where's God at? Huh? Lonnie, I'm convinced of this. He's been gone so long that we don't know He's gone. He's been gone so long that we've learned how to have church without Him. Brother Clark, He's been gone so long, Preacher Wayne, that we forgot to look for Him. Verse number 3. And said, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not it in the days of Saul. All the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now listen to me. We've covenanted together. There's been prayer made in this place for this meeting. But have we went and asked God? Have we said to God, God, we want You. If 11th hour can't make it, that'll be okay, but we want You. If Craig the Lions don't get there, that's okay. We won't. Oh, somebody said, Brother Craig, we've got to have me there to have meeting. Baloney, baloney. We've got to have God here to have a meeting. We've got to have God here. We've got to have God here, Clark. They said, boy, that's a good idea. And they get together and they go down there to Abinadab's house. That ark's been there. Because the Philistines, I poured out more than I can get mopped up already. When they have taken that ark, you remember that, Clark? When they've taken that, the shout went up, the Philistines capture it, and they carry it down there, and they set it up in Dagon's house. That's the Philistines' god. They get up the next morning to go in there, and Dagon's down. Somebody said, what did they do? Well, they set their own god back up. Hey, they made a mistake. They thought they could move God in without first moving Dagon out. You didn't hear that, did you? I'll say it over here. They thought they could move God in without first moving Dagon out. Dagon's on his face. They prop him back up. Come in the next morning, and God's done went and busted him up. Somebody said, what'd they do then? They got rid of the wrong God. Here's the tendency in meetings like this. When God comes by and we have a God moment, Brother Brian, too often in coming days, we get rid of the wrong God. When old Naaman came down there, that leper, and came to the man of God, and the man of God said, go dip in Jordan River. And Naaman said, are not the rivers of Syria better than the river of Jordan? There's Pharpar. It flows from up high, way up in the mountains. It's seasonal because it flows when there is the melting of snow. It comes at high tide. That's revival time, Brother Lonnie. We have a people that get right with God and stay right with God as long as revival's here. Then there's old Hanai, that river there. And he said it's better because it's free and flowing and it's cool. Oh, somebody said, preacher, we like God when He's preaching to us smooth and easy thing. But we can't stand in the house of God when God gets to plow in the tater pad and He begins dealing with bypass sins. I'm just wondering which river we've been getting in. Have we been getting in God's or we've been getting in ours? They said, my God, we're going to go get the ark. They go down there to Benadab's house. Those Philistines have sent the ark home. They sent it home on a new cart. They separated some milk cows that have calves that are bawling in the pen, Clark. And they said, we'll see if this is God. If it's God, those cows will leave out. Hey, how many of you's ever worked with cows? If they got a calf bawling, they'll stay with the calf. These hooked up and they went home. Those fellas said that was surely God. And they set that in Abinadab's house. Been there 20 years. He's got two boys, Ahio and Uzzah. David said, why don't you boys just drive this cart? They get that on top of that cart. I don't have time to preach this, do I? Lonnie Burks, they harness to the ark oxen. You read in the book of Exodus, or Ezekiel it is, isn't it? There was those cherubs that covered. One had the face, what? Of a man. One had the face of a sheep. One had the face of an eagle. The other had the face of what? An oxen. I would present to you that in eternity past, that cherub that covered, in eternity past, the devil, Lucifer, he's looking on at the presence of God in eternity past. And he said, I will be like God. I will sit upon the throne of the Most High. And in pride he's lifted up. But Wainwright, there was war made in heaven. And Michael the strong angel and those angels fought against him. And they cast forth that great dragon. But I'm saying to us, Alan, that when David hooked up those oxen, he hooks up the devil. He hooks up the devil. I said he hooks up the devil to bring God home. You listen to this preacher. I may not know much, but I know that they don't work. I know that that ain't going to work. We can't have the work of devil trying to bring home God. We can't have the work of the flesh. We can't have the manifestation of the flesh trying to get God in the house. Huh? I don't care if it's my flesh or yours. And they're driving that cart. What does your Bible say? King James. And the oxen shook it.
Yes, sir.
And the oxen shook it. And Uzzah reached around. He's just trying, somebody said in innocence, to prop up the ark of God. Look up here and let me help thee through the Holy Ghost. God don't need me or you propping it up. God does not need me or you propping up His work. He kills Uzzah. David's displeased, calls that place the breach of Uzzah to this day. There's a breach there. But there is that spurs David. He asks the question in 1 Chronicles 13, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? He gets interested, Brother George Lynn, in doing it God's way. He gets interested in doing it God's way. I'm hung up right there. He gets interested in doing it God's way. He gets interested in doing it God's way. My God, it's time that the church there extended got interested in God's way. We tried it too long our way. For 3 months, that turns aside, Brother Brian, into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Well, that's grace right there. He's one that should have perished in the book of Genesis. He's one of 7 nationalities that God set him on a wipeout. But he found grace. So he's happy. Oh God, your presence is coming into my house. I'll take care of it. It's no bother, right? I'll take care of it. 3 months. David's running back and forth. Back and forth, I think, to the temple. He's going back. And those priests, those backslidden preachers, those backslidden preachers find in the book of the law that man that is not of the sons of Kohath is not to take and touch the ark. Somebody said, but Brother Craig, that's 1,500 years prior. God's still serious about what He says. God's still serious. I say to us, in order to have and to be for this house, Clark Snow, to be the habitation of God, a place where God dwells, there's going to have to be sanctification. Somebody said, but Brother Craig, ain't salvation free? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, ordained to good works, that we should walk in them. You hear an ignorant preacher tonight, salvation's free, but sanctification will cost us. Salvation is free, Clark Snow. Salvation is free. There's not a price on it. But if we're going to have God, Wainwrighter, if we're going to have and manifest God, it's going to cost us everything. Let's get that. Chapter 15 of the book of 1 Chronicles. David learns that the sons of Kohath are to carry the ark upon their shoulders. Thank you for letting me preach. Thank you for letting me preach, Brother Clark. But I want to tell you something. There's work involved to habitat in God. Numbers chapter 5. God speaks to Moses and said, you need to clean the camp up. He said, you got leprosy. You've got a wound that oozes. You've got a wound that's scabbed over. Somebody said, what is it? Oh, people, I hear the Holy Ghost saying to us, we need to be clean from that that's on the inside that comes to the outside. We need to get clean in the camp. If we're going to habitat God for the Lonnie, we're going to have to get clean in the camp. It's going to take sanctification. That is where we willingly humble ourselves to a holy God and say, God, I'm not right. I haven't been doing it right. My ways is not your ways. Your ways is higher than mine. But I'm going to do it your way, whatever it costs me. So David, verse 25, chapter 15. And the elders of Israel, the captain over thousands, went up to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Somebody said, what's it cost David? It's cost him his treasury. He's opened up the door. Somebody said, where are you pastoring at? Well, I hadn't had many offers as of late. I can't believe that. Well, you know. Somebody said, oh, hold on there. Had somebody call the other day, Brother Lonnie, and said, this is the opening statement, said we have $750,000 in our church account. We would be interested in talking to you about being our pastor. Been 25 years in this thing. And if they got $750,000 in their church account, they plan on keeping it.
Come on, Brother Craig. Come on, Brother Craig.
That would have been a much more impressive to this hillbilly if they had said for the last 30 years, we've taken and given $750,000 to the work of God. It cost him his treasury. David said, how can I offer that which has cost me nothing? How can I offer that which has cost me nothing? Is that why we don't have power on the altar? Because we ain't willing to give anything up. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present what? Your body. Your body. Somebody said, I ain't got anything. If you're breathing in God's air, you've got something. You've got something God wants. You've got something that God made. You've got something that God deserves. He deserves our lives. David said, not only will it cost me my treasury, it'll cost me my time. My mama said to me years ago, said, son, you'll make time for anything that you think's important. I agree with that. Verse 25, they did it with joy. You know why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. until we can give it with cheerfulness, I don't know that it's a worthy offering to Him. Because He's the King. He's the King. Verse 26, it came to pass when God helped the Levites. I said, Holy Ghost, help a hillbilly.
Yeah. Come on.
And he said, I was wanting to get back home more than you wanted me back home.
Come on, Brother Greg. Come on.
I was wanting to get in the habitat more than you was wanting me in the habitat. Is his arm short that he can't save? Is his ear heavy that he can't hear money? He's the one to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But he's guarded by his holiness. He's guarded by his word. He's guarded by his word. Does God want to? More than we want him to. It came to pass when God helped the Levites to bear the ark. They went 6 paces, David did. Watch them count it off. 6 paces. What's 6, Brother Mike Hutzel? It's the number of a man. What was he doing? Any way but God's way is wrong. He had 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And he offered them. He offered them. And he danced before the Lord. Somebody said, he uncovered himself. That he did. You want me to tell you what I feel about that text? He uncovers himself out of the ephod and that linen of the priest because he's dancing before a great high priest. He recognized he wasn't. But he that dwelt between the cherubims was. Brother Clark, he got little and God got big. He got little and God got big. It's going to still take sanctification. It's still going to take sanctification. If we're going to be a habitat, a dwelling place of God, it's going to take us dying out to the flesh and living for God. Here's where we are. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. If not, it's in the book of Jeremiah. In that day, 7 women shall take hold on the coat of 1 man, saying, give us your name. But we have our own apparel, and we have our own food. That's where we are in the church. Give us your name. Give us a little fire insurance from hell. But we still want to wear what we want to wear, and we want to do and eat what we want to eat. I've lost my ameners. That just shocked me right there. Somebody said, you wasn't expecting that. No, no, surely not. I'm telling you, when we sanctify ourselves to God, we want what He has. Boy, I wish I was a singer. Well, I tell you, the best thing that I ever did do was when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. That old coat was Adam. Help me, Amber. It was made from... Stand up and sing that with me. It was made from the crown. We all bear His image, the whole world around. So pure, He gave me this new coat that you now see me wear. Well, I tell you, the best thing that I ever did do was when I took off my old coat and I put on the new. Somebody said, what is that old coat? It's the coat of the flesh. And He clothed me in His righteousness. It still takes sanctification. Well, I'm moving on before you move out. Patrick Morley, you perhaps read him. Patrick Morley says the integrity problem comes from the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives without subtracting sin. This has brought us revival without repentance and without reform. So what do we need to do? Repent. That's what he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Repent. Repent. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Hold your place there, Ephesians. If we're going to be a habitat for God, it's going to involve sanctification. Not just salvation, but sanctification. Somebody said, boy, don't you know we're at camp meeting? Yep. That's what we're trying to do, is have a camp meeting. Amen. Amen. It'll involve, I want to be a habitat for God. Ephesians chapter 2. Not only will habitat for God involve sanctification, but if we're going to be a habitat and have God dwell with us, be numbered with us, Brother Clark, it's going to take unification. You believe that? It's going to take us getting together, being unified in the body of believers. Now somebody said, Brother Craig, as long as I'm in the church, they ain't never going to be 100% vote. Well, God can take you out of the church. There's needing to be unification. In preaching, Brother Clark, it seems like that part of the time this side will preach with the preacher real good, won't it? Well, we'll preach real good right here, and this side sits on us. So we move over here, Brother Allen, and we work on this side, Brother Stacy, and we get this side going, and then this side stalls up on us. We'll work with the young adults and develop a program for the young adults and get them fired up and excited, and the senior saints' feelings get hurt. So we go over here and we pet the senior saints around and we get them, and now the teenagers are upset. Unification. If we're going to be a habitat for God, and God's going to dwell with us, we're going to have first sanctification. Secondly, we need unification. Amen. This is an Old Testament principle. It comes to us from the writings of Exodus, when Moses has received instruction from the Lord. You'll find that David says, Psalm 132, we sought for the ark. We heard of it. It was at Ephratah in the wood. But he's looking back where God used to dwell, is in that place that's called the tabernacle. You remember that, Brother Clark? He gave them specific instructions how he wanted it made. Specific. And he said, in your travels, I want you to cut down some acacia trees. Those fellas, Brother Brian, walking around. And God said, that's an acacia tree. And they hacked that thing down, sawed it down, and took it, and began to work with it, Dono. They began to plane it. They smoothed it to the exact dimensions that God said. And then he said, I want you to cover it with beaten gold. He said, I want you to get 50. He said, I want you to get 50. Somebody help me now. He wanted 50 boards of acacia tree. Brother Stacy, look at the grain on the back of that right there. They've melded together, glued together two boards, oak boards, to make that. There's a difference in that grain and that grain. On the side of this, there's a difference in that grain and that grain. Are you with me, Brother Lonnie? There's a difference, Brother Brian, in this grain. You'll see it was a good year. It was growing fast. There's a big growth ring. This one was a drought year. It's a little tighter there. But he said, get 50. Get 50 of those boards. Plane them down to the same size. Somebody said, why did he say to the same size? Because we're all standing on the same place. Cover them with beaten gold. That precious. Oh, that refined. That pure gold. Brother Derek, that is to resemble. That is to cast back. Brother Lonnie Burke standing there over against the lamp where it's a flickering, Sister Connie, and the torch is a gleaming and it's a shining back. There's a reflection. There's a reflection. John said, I'm not the light, but I'm sent to bear witness of the light. Brother Bruce, I'm not the light, but I'm a reflection of the light. Thank God right there. I'm a reflection of the light. It's not my job to be the light. It's my job to reflect the light. And there is a true reflection, Stacy. There's a true reflection when that's covered with beaten gold. That looks the same. Somebody said, why'd he say, to cover it up? Because when you're standing and those acacia trees are taken from different locales, taken from different places, different circumastances. You're from Bastrop, Louisiana. I'm from the hills of Arkansas. But when you get under the gold, you get covered with what Christ did, the redemptive work of Christ. Oh, somebody help me here. If background's not important anymore, it's just a reflection of the truth. It's not who I am. It's not who you are. It's a reflection of God. And all are standing. Let me get that. Covered with beaten gold, set in sockets of silver. Every one of us, listen to me, from the church boss to her husband. Amen anyway. Every one of us that's saved and sealed have the same standing. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. How did you get saved? Brother Clark, you was 18, weren't you? Sitting on the back seat down there across the river. Huh? What's the name of your town? I know it. Scranton. Dear Lord, the Rockets. Amen. Sitting back there on the back seat. And the Holy Ghost came to you, didn't he? And he began to deal with your heart. And what'd you do? You said to him, I'm coming home. And you fell into the altar. And you began to repent of your sins. You know what? I did that as a 9-year-old boy on top of the Waiting Mountain. How'd you get saved? It's the same way. We've confessed our sin and believed in it. There's the neutral. There's the same footing and standing. Don't get puffed up and think you're something. Huh? We are nobody that knows of somebody that covered up my scars, that covered up my imperfections, that covered and hid my sins. Somebody said, Brother Craig, how can we get unified? Well, let me help you right there through the Holy Ghost. He told them, he said, I want you to take those boards, cover them with silver, with gold, put them in sockets of silver, and bore a hole at the top. And take a scarlet cord. And I want you to take that scarlet cord and begin to wind it and lace it between. They're extended. It's without my ability. I don't have any talents or ability to bind this crowd together. Wayne Ryder, I don't have it within me to knit it together. But the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it begins to pass from breast unto breast, from life unto life. Hey, 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 we are His, and He unites us together through the blood. Our body, he said, Brother Brian, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And every 60 seconds, that heart pumps, what is it? Some 20 miles maybe or more of blood veins and arteries inside of us. And every 60 seconds, that blood touches every part. I still believe not only is it the blood, set us free. Let me brag on the blood for a minute. I wrote this down. I believe the blood of the Lamb. I believe it atones and assures. It bought and blessed. It cleanses and consecrates. It dissolves and delivers. It emancipates and eradicates. It frees and furnishes. The blood's glorious and great. It's healing and holy. It's immaculate and infinite. It's the just and the justifier. It's keeping and kingly. It's liberating and lovely. It's marvelous and mysterious. It's necessary and noble. It liberates and overcomes. It pardons and purifies. It quickens and qualifies. It redeems, it revives. It saves, it sanctifies. It's trustworthy and triumphant. It's unadulterated. It's unequal. It's valuable. It's vital. It's worthy. It's wonderful. It expunges. It exterminates. He's the yielded. He is the Z of the alphabet. I still believe in the power of the blood. Ephesians chapter 2. You're there, Ephesians 2. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 19. Now therefore. Oh. Brother Brian, you got blessed for your preaching. I'm fixing to myself, I think. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. That's what we call them on the Buffalo. When y'all come canoeing, you're foreigners. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. How could you not be unified with somebody you're going to live with? Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built. There's the Old Testament Kenny Parsons in whom all the building. Here we are. He's taken them trees. He's hewn them. He's covered them, set them, and bound them together. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for inhabitant, my God, for inhabitation. Got that? We're wondering how to be a habitation. Then get unified. Get put in your place. Get stay in your place. Stand in your place. Be in your place. My Lord Clark, you need people in their place to be a habitat for God. I wish I was better as a scholar. Somebody asked me what I was good at. Not much. I was good at picking a pretty woman to be my wife, though.
There you go.
I was good at that. No, I ain't going to sleep outside tonight, son. I didn't get married to sleep outside. There is insights. They told me in school that everything is made up of atoms, A-T-O-M-S. Some of us just have more than others. Boy, y'all with me. It must be late, Brother Lonnie. You've been yawning for 20 minutes. Everything's made up of atoms. I got thinking about this. God showed me how I could illustrate and show how that the building needs to be put together, Brother Stacy. And you know the difference between a flashlight and a laser? There must be a difference. When you coon hunted, did you have a wheat lamp or did you just have one of them handheld lights? I'm talking over here. I'm with you, Brother Harold. I didn't mean to dish off on you. I had a carbide lamp, okay? They had carbide lamps. We had an old flashlight. Just an old regular flashlight. And Louie is our oldest brother, me and Donovan's brother. And when we go coon hunting, he got to carry the light some reason because he's the oldest. Now, we didn't have much of a dog. He'd tree possums and skunks and armadillos as diligent as he would a coon. But when you're walking around in the dark looking for some mysterious beast, you're just glad to tree anything. He'd carry the light, Brother Lonnie. We put in it Ponca with Gary Dean Matlock. He had some good coon dogs. Goodness. 7 hours later, we ain't seen or heard his good coon dogs. He said it was because old Red was trashy. Y'all ain't with me yet. He got to carry the flashlight. Since I'm next in line, Miss Parsons, I got to walk behind him. Because the light's brighter right behind. You know, I can still see the light. Now, Donovan, our youngest brother's away back there in the darkness. But he's younger and better in shape anyway. So here we go through the woods. And you got to stay close if you got only one light. Because you want to be close because he's bending branches. And you want to be right behind him so they don't hit you. We didn't have much of a light. Had a flashlight. That flashlight gets energy from an electron and what's the other thing? Neutron, thank you. You're a brain scholar, sir. Electron and a neutron. And those begin to have energy, Brother Ronnie, and they get excited and they give their nudges in that battery to something called a photon. That's the lamp. That's the light. That flashlight, these neutrons and electrons are moving around erratically and they give their nudge, their energy to a photon, and it's a flashlight. Now, there's somebody that I wish I'd have been. Well, I don't know about that. I hadn't found very many I want to swap heads with. And he sat around one day and he said, "What if? What if we gave Brother Mike the same amount of energy at the exact same time to the photons?" And he developed a laser. And a laser, ladies and gentlemen, from miles away can peel the armor off of a tank. Because instead of sporadically getting their little nudge, they all get the same nudge at the same time. And he said, "Boy, that's good." But he said if we could focus that by mirrors and amplify this light by mirrors, it would even be more powerful. What if, Clark Snow on Sunday morning, if we came in and we said, "What God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And what if God come a-walking through His house?"
Amen.
Amen.
What if God, somebody said, "I don't know if God wants to come." You haven't heard me yet. God wants to more than we want Him to. God wants to, Stacy. He won't show up at Faith Three Will Baptist. God wants to come a walker. But what if we all got focused and we got energized and we got on the same team at the same time? Springdale wouldn't be the same.
That's the truth. Amen.
If we're going to habitat God, we're going to have to get together. After we've got sanctified. Somebody said, "You done? I'm almost D-U-N. I'm real close." Psalms 132. Y'all still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all still want to be a habitat for God?
Amen.
How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? It's going to cost you something. I'll tell you what it'll first cost: peeling off the pride. And saying to God, "God, I want it." Huh? Look up here, Derek Stinnett. You know what you told me? That there's a deeper level and experience with God, and you're going to get it.
Amen.
We're not talking about phony baloney. But we're talking about going for it. We're talking about digging it out. We're talking about laying some things down in order to have God dwell with us. Psalm 132, and I'm done. Psalm 132. We will go. Verse 9, "Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout aloud for joy. Verse 16, I will also clothe the priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Here's the order. Listen to me. Here's the order. Lonnie Birch, if I know anything, God gave me, and here's what He gave me to tell us that are here Tuesday night. If we want God to be with us and dwell with us, Wayne, we're going to have to get sanctified. We're going to have to lay down the flesh. We're going to have to lay down some things. We're going to have to die out to that. And somebody said, how much did God die out to? Whatever He tells you to die out to. Huh? Somebody said, well, it might be different for me than it is you. But I'll tell you this, it'll be God. And if God tells us it'll be right, huh? And His Word's already dictated. And then there'll be unification. We'll get together. Because He's bound us together. And then, in this order, sanctification, unification, then comes glorification. Glorification. We've reversed that, haven't we? We want to glorify God before we're unified and before we're sanctified. David said this in 2 Samuel 6, we sought Him not after His due order. Am I wrong, fellas? You've been in this a lot longer than I have, Brother Lonnie. You got white hair even. Huh? Am I right? Do we have to do it after the due order, Lonnie Birch? Do we? Brother Wayne? Do we have to do it God's way? Can we get glorification before we get sanctification? Huh? It won't come. Won't come. And God says, I want to come. Won't somebody just get it right? And then He says, let the saints shout loud for joy. I'm on overtime. I'm hurrying. I promise. Praise. Where's it mentioned? If I'm not wrong, it's mentioned in the 29th chapter of Genesis, the law of the beginning, law first mentioned. We could say this, couldn't we? Since it's the book of beginnings, law first mentioned. Brother Mike, can we say that's law first mentioned? Do you remember Jacob's wife was going to have that third son, and she called his name Judah and said, now shall I praise the Lord. When we come to the end and Jacob's bringing those fellows before Him, He says to Judah, brethren are going to praise You. Amen. And thy hand shall be in the neck.
Yes, sir.
And I said, Holy Ghost, I still ain't with you. And He said, I'm trying to teach you something, Craig. Our hands are weapons, yes, against the devil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They're weapons for God. He inhabits. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Brother Wayne Ryder, is it right? He inhabits the praises of His people. Sister Connie Jo, I've watched you in camp meetings, I've watched you in church, you didn't think I was, and I've seen that little hand slip up. Huh? I've watched my mother. I want to tell you the qualifications, listen to me. The qualifications to lifting up hands in the house of God is that they be holy hands.
Huh?
And when they're holy hands, and there begins to be glorification in the house of God, and God moves in, the devil moves out. Come and help. Come and help me. I'm almost done. 5 weeks ago, I stood, coming on 5 weeks, it'll be 5 weeks Sunday. I stood in the front yard of my mother and dad's little modest log cabin. My mother and dad have prayed for Mom's dad, Lonnie, for 45 years. The phone call came that Sunday afternoon and said, "We thought you would want to know some good news, Loretta." Said Lonnie got saved.
Wow. Yeah.
Lanny Sue, Owen Taggart, Ellie Jess Snag. We crawled into that little Acadia that God's blessed us with. And I seen a little hill woman that's quiet. Most of you would never know that she was in the church house. But in the front yard, Donovan, I seen our mama raise both hands toward heaven. Mama said, "Son, you're going to South Carolina to try to preach. Daddy's whittling on the porch, Lonnie, and he says, 'Son, you go make him a hand. And you tell him what heaven told you to tell him.'" Mama said, "And God, you tell him God's still God."
Glory. Glory.
God's still God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for refreshments, because He leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want for life, because He gives me green pastures. I shall not want for forgiveness, because He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for companionship, because He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me." I shall not want for comfort, because Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for sustenance, because Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Shall not want for joy, because Thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want, Lonnie Birch, for anything in this life, because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not want for anything in the life to come, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The lady on the plane said, "Son, you're a fool." And I said, "But God's my shepherd." Job says, "He knoweth the way that I take. When I come through, oh, that my name were laid graven in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at the last time. And these eyes shall see him, not the eyes of another, and I'm going to behold him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who giveth, who taketh away." Ronnie, blessed be the name of the Lord. Stand up and give him praise and honor in the house. If you believe that God's worthy of our praise and inhabits the praises of His people, and you've got sanctified hands, you stretch them heavenward and know that they are a tool in the neck. They're a tool in the enemy of God. They're a tool in the house of God. If your hands ain't sanctified, you get on the altar and get them sanctified. Repent! 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 Let His people shout loud for joy. Let His people shout loud. Your church, your crowd. Sing with me.